हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 26 द हेलिश प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टेक्स्ट नंबर 36 इज अ प्रोज, सो आई विल जस्ट रीड द ट्रांसलेशन, आई विल जस्ट रीड माय सेल्फ एंड देन द ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पट। यस्तु इह वा आढम अभिमतिर अहंकृत स्थिर्य प्रेक्षण सर्वतो अर्थव्यय नास चिंतया परिशुष्यमान हृदय वदनो निवृत्तिम अन्वगतो गृह इवार्थम अभिरक्षति स चापि प्रेत्य तदुपदान उत्कर्षण समल गृह शुचिमुखे नरके निपतन्ति यत्र ह वित्त गृहं पतं पुरुषं धर्मराज पुरुषः वाक्य इव सर्वतो अग्नेषु सूत्रै परिवयन्ति। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट। वन हु इन दिस वर्ल्ड और दिस लाइफ इज वेरी प्राउड ऑफ हिज वेल्थ ऑलवेज थिंक्स I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched friend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness. And he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukh, where the officials of Yamraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body, like weavers manufacturing cloth. Purport. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly, through agriculture, cow production and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayan. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayan. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yanya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein. O Mother. One who in this world or in this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted and is afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even doubts his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of sinful things he does to earn money, to augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into hell called Suchimukh, where the officials of Yamraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body, like weavers manufacturing cloth. Hare Krishna. Today's whole modern world is centered around economic progress. How everyone is trying to progress economically. Economically powerful countries, financial institutions, big institutions to just manage the finances. But here, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of the verse spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, from the topmost scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, is describing the condition of a person, his present and future, who has more money than he requires, how he becomes proud, how he acquires, augments and protects his money by sinful activities, and what is his future in various types of hells. Although this is the last hell being described in Srimad Bhagavatam, so we had heard 28 of them. But in the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami says, although in Yamalaya, there are hundreds and thousands of hells, although I have spoken about some and I have not spoken about some. So this was just a trailer. This 28 slideshow was only a trailer. It's a sample of the hundreds and thousands of hells that are available for people who are not following the ways of Vedic scriptures, or in another way they lead the sinful life. Today's verse is especially describing about the right use and the dangers of money. Everything has its position and can be utilized properly. But at the same time, we have to be very careful and aware of the pitfalls in any path. Like bhakti is the topmost process, but there also you can commit blunders like offenses and things like that. So although bhakti is the topmost process, but it can also give great negative results if we are not careful. In a similar way, money is Lakshmi. So Lakshmi itself is not a problem. It's not bad or something. But then Lakshmi has to be used to serve Lord Shri Krishna or Narayan rather than trying to serve our own senses. And this is a very important point which is being made in this purport. In the modern life, but if we see actually, as it is called, money is honey. They may give up actual eating honey, but for some money. Like Charvak Muni, he said, if you want to enjoy, at least eat ghee and things like that. But modernist people, they don't care whether they eat ghee or just they eat something of the road, how he washes the plates. But if he has a lot of money in the pocket, he's happy. So money is honey. In the modern age, money is might. It's controlling. And whoever is money, they think this is the right person. Many people, even though they know these big scandalous people who did big financial scandals in stock market of India, even after they were punished, many people are approaching them to getting trained to how to do these scandals. They are saying that this person is in jail for 5 years, 10 years. One of them died in the jail. But still they were very eager to learn the techniques of performing this financial stock market scandals. So money is right. Money is might. Money is position in the modern age. If we see somebody on the road who has a lot of money, everyone respects him. They don't care how he earned it. Did he earn it by gentle ways, by honest ways, by false ways, by something like smuggling or just cheating or something? If he has money, people, you have respect, you have position, everything. And opposite, there is a saying in English. All of you have heard, but I would just like to remind it over here. that it is said that if money is lost, then nothing is lost. And if health is lost, then something is lost. And if character is lost, then everything is lost. In a modern age, people are just judging each other, fellow human beings, on the strength, on the how much bank balance or how much credit cards or whatever that form of some form of finances they have. They don't care how they got it. Actually, as we say, mostly in the modern age, the money is acquired, protected, and spent in sinful ways. So what is happening is the same cause of actual their happiness is turning into a nightmare at the present moment and also in the future. Because they are earning the money and protecting the money in sinful ways, their whole life is nightmare. As it is said, they don't know what is real peace and then don't know what is to be free from anxiety. People who earn money sinfully more than what they require, they don't know what is happiness. And they also don't know what is to be free from anxiety. Just like the story of one man who was driving in a car in some village area or rural area. He just saw one man having a nice time on the side of the road. He said, "Oh, you don't work? Why don't you earn some money?" He said, "What will I do with that money?" He said, "By earning, you should work very hard and earn lakhs of rupees." "Okay, and what after that?" "After earning lakhs of rupees, you can go to some rural area and have a free time." He said, "I am already having that." So he says, "I am already enjoying what you will work hard for years and then you will enjoy. I am already enjoying that just sitting over here." So people in this world, they don't know what is real peace and what is to be free from anxiety. Actually, by trying to augment their wealth by the sinful ways, people are actually increasing their disastrous or dire circumstances. And people are very happy. They just look, "Oh, he has got, he did this degree. And within 1 year, he has become lakhpati or crorepati, or he has earned crores." But you don't see that many other crores could not do it. The other crores of people also finished that degree, but they could not become that. You just look at that one people, one among the crore was successful and they just aim him. But the probability says for you to become him is 1 by 1 crore or maybe like that. So in this way, people are just illusioned by these various danglings of high amounts of gold or money involved. And in this way, they are increasing their trouble for life more and more. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, or Srila Prabhupada also used to explain, that if we already have fever, as say 101 degrees centigrade, that our aim should be to decrease the fever, bring it back to 98.8. But whole modern, if somebody says, "No, I am not 101, I want more. I want to get 104 degrees centigrade. That is foolishness. The very fact that we are in this world is already like a fever condition. Our very fact that we have taken birth, we are suffering birth, old age, disease, death, adhyatmik, adi bhautik, adi daivik klesh. And within that, the whole society is working in such a way that they want to increase their entanglement, sinful reactions. They want to increase their feverish condition. Actually, people who are not tested this free from anxiety and peace actually have their feverish condition. Their face and heart dry up. They suspect their superiors. They have no faith on even their wife or children. It's like a feverish condition. They are always in great stress. "Oh, someone will come, my friend will come, my relative will come, my husband will come, my wife will come, my children will come, my father will come, somebody will come and take away my wealth." Always under great stress and anxiety, and they never know. So this is itself like a feverish condition. Actually, modern world has become very expert in increasing its needs more than necessary. Especially with this currency, paper currency coming in. Srila Prabhupada was once telling when he was small. He was telling that when I was small, at that time if I would go to bank, I had a choice. If I am withdrawing some money from the bank, I had a choice whether I want the gold coins or silver coins or paper currency. So I could tell, "Oh, I want gold coins." So he would give me gold. I say, "I want silver coins." So he would give corresponding amount of silver coins. So you say, "Okay, I want paper currency." So that time, because paper currency was just introduced, it was actually valued equally to some actual gold. But as more and more paper currency, governments printing at their own will, from there only the cheating is happening. And now we have plastic currency and just electronic currency. You just press some button and lakhs of rupees can be transferred. So Prabhupada said actually there should be only gold coins for even financial transactions. This paper currency is cheating and uselessly increasing our entanglement. But then one disciple, I don't know who was he, one devotee asked this question. But Prabhuji, Swamiji, if we have only gold coins, then in the modern world we can't do big, big transactions, financial transactions worth crores of rupees and pounds. Process, that's good, they are not needed. In this modern world to run, these big, big financial transactions are not needed. And it's practical, it's true. If you have gold coin, then you can't take one bag full of gold coin on the road and then go somewhere and make some dealing. It's highly risky, it's just simply not possible. But you can carry a checkbook very easily and then just go in there, write a check. So by these facilities, what has happened is they are very nicely increasing our capacity to earn, protect and augment our unrequired money. And in this way, people are becoming more and more puffed up, proud. If you see modern civilization, it's very expert in just giving us what we don't need, increasing our necessities. Every way. And then actually in the modern world, this whole financial earning is done at a great, it's even if yes, finance is required and the Grihastha Ashram is supposed to earn money. It's not that there is no money, role of money in the society. But here it is said everyone should earn his money, even a Vaishya, he should earn his money by honest means and spend it for Krishna consciousness. So yes, money is required. If somebody is in Grihastha Ashram, it is his duty to earn some money. But the means are very important to know. In a modern age, we see people are earning money at great expense, not honestly, and not without any freedom of violence or injustice to other people. Krushi Guruksha Vanijyam, some cow production, some agriculture, and some, if you have access, some trade. But in the modern world, the whole bigger and bigger industries and business is just there to exploit people. For example, in India, this software, IT is coming in. But this IT is as good as IT is as good as high-tech slavery. People are made to work from morning 9 to night 10, 11, 12 hours, 14 hours. And they don't get their food. And it's worse than doing labor. Because if you do labor, you at least do some exercise. But here in IT, your neck is destroyed, your back is destroyed, your eyes are destroyed, your head are destroyed. So in this way, if we see, although one may get little more money, but it's actually clear-cut, high level of exploiting the employees. With the money that is earned by this whole IT industry, and in modern sense everywhere, is not earned honestly or in peaceful ways. It's earned at giving great pains and troubles to the other people. And even such money is highly sinful in nature for the person who is earning it. So he now in the future, just for in this coming some time, I would just like to discuss more in detail, especially different categories of Varnashram, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, in what way they are allowed to have some money and in what way they should be spending some money. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada in various places in Purports, especially there is a very nice instruction in the section of Vamandev. Meeting Bali Maharaj, Vamandev is playing a role of an ideal brahmachari and ideal Brahman, both ways. And he's telling great instructions on how a Brahman or a brahmachari, Brahman means one who is interested in knowing Brahman. That means one who wants to advance spiritually. So it may be anyone who wants to advance spiritually, he is a Brahman. And within Brahman, there can be somebody, a Grihastha, and somebody, for brahmachari. So for especially Vamandev is playing this wonderful role and he is telling that how it is, what type of relationships they can keep with this financial currencies and golds. He first begins by telling, just like even a sight, or it is said in scriptures, that even some if air which touches a woman's cloth or opposite sex cloth and comes and touches us, it can incite lusty desires. Similarly, even the sight or a thought of wealth can incite greedy desires in a human being. Just by seeing somebody having wealth or just by hearing about wealth, it can create greedy desires within one's mind. So one has to be very careful. He says, especially Brahmanas, they have to avoid this extra money and extra collection of items than what they need in a big way. Otherwise, it's simply not possible. When Vamandev was offered whatever he wants, Balivana said, okay, you ask whatever you want. And then Vamandev asked for 3 steps of land. So Vamandev told the Bali Maharaj in 8th canto, 19th chapter, he says, O king, you are the controller of whole universe. And although you are very munificent, you are greatly charitable, and you are ready to give me whatever I want. But still, I don't want anything more than anything that is unnecessary for me. He says, if a learned Brahmanas take charity from others according to his needs, then he does not become entangled in sinful activity. So even if one takes charity more than what he requires, then he is also entangled in sinful activity. Further, Srila Prabhupada explains, a Brahman or a sannyasi is qualified to ask charity, but if he takes more than it is necessary, he is punishable. Because Vamandev is actually indicating to Bali Maharaj that as I am not able to accept more than what is necessary, you are possessing more than what is necessary for you. So you are also getting entangled. In this modern age, Srila Prabhupada says, due to this unnecessary extravaganza is the cause of all distress. People earn money sinfully and spend money sinfully more than what they require. Such activities are sinful. All the money actually belongs to the Supreme Lord and should be used for His service. This principle should be especially followed by Brahmanas and Sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Now further, Prabhupada is making a very important point in this Vamandevas. He says, the Vedic culture, how can this come? See, money is there, so you can't avoid it. Even in our society, as a Brahmachari, as a Guruastra, as one person, as a Sannyasi, everyone has money. This is fact, we can't avoid it. So how to deal with it? The Prabhupada says, what is the main aim of Vedic culture? Yes, main aim is Krishna consciousness, but the secondary aim is to attain that main aim. The Vedic culture or Brahmanical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of human life. So what is the main teaching of Vedic culture? How to be satisfied by possessing the minimum necessities of human life. And for this, the Varnashram division is made. One is trained to control his senses and be content with basic necessities. Here, to set this example as an ideal Brahmachari, Vamandev refuses to accept how in great quantities water Bali Maharaj is offering him, and he only accepts 3 steps of land. He says, Vamandev says, that without contentment, one cannot be happy, even if one has the property of entire universe. In modern civilization, Vedic culture, people were taught to be satisfied to possess what they need. Prabhupada says in modern civilization, there is no such education. In first standard, second standard, fifth standard, you are not taught that be satisfied with what you need. Prabhupada says, because this modern civilization is lacking in such education, everyone tries to possess more and more and more. And everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. Everyone tries to possess more and more because their teaching is not there. Their training is not there. Be satisfied with what you need. In fact, okay, I'll just come to this point. And everyone is becoming more and more dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna conscious movement is establishing this principle to show how to be content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, the greatest folly what modern civilization has done and trained us is to make we make our needs on not actually what we need. We make our needs on seeing what others have. And that is the greatest folly. Oh, he has this item, then I also need it. See, if we need it, that need will come from within. Just like after 6 hours, everyone needs food and no one has to teach. Food is needed for us. And no one has to tell, oh, you need some food? No. So somebody train us from childhood, you need some food? No. When the food is needed, automatically the call is there. But in other than that, we see, oh, he has such a big house, I also need one. Oh, he has an iPod, I also need one. He has a CD player with MP3, then I also need one. You don't need, you are doing, but because you need when somebody else has. So this is the greatest folly. Your need should come from within. Just like the hunger comes from within. It doesn't come, oh, he's hungry, so I'm also hungry. We have full of stomach, and then some devotee comes, says, oh, I am very hungry. Oh, you are hungry, so I'm also very hungry. It doesn't happen. The needs, they have to come from within. When we are thirsty, we don't feel, oh, he is thirsty or he is not thirsty. We feel thirst and we need it. That time we need water. And when we have no clothes, then I need some clothes to be in a society. Some basic clothes. But he has such a wonderful jute dhoti with such a 2-inch boundary. Then I also need one. This is not our need. This is what we are creating. Our needs we are basing on others, what others have. And that is the greatest folly. Our needs should not be based on what others have. They should come from within. Yeah, I need it. I just can't do without it. But oh, he has this. Then I need that. Oh, he has this. Then we possess it. Then we lose it. Then anxiety comes. Then it breaks down. We get a CD player and it stops working in 1 month. Then get anxiety. Then we give it for repair. It comes back after 1 month. Then again it breaks after 1 month. So get anxiety. We curse the people who manufacture. We curse the people who sell. We curse everyone. So our whole consciousness is spoiled. And our need was based on somebody else's. He may actually need it. He may be using it. But just because he has, I also need. This is not what we need. And modern civilization is training us. Everyone has. Everyone should look at that. Look at this. I have this and you have that. The whole advertisement is, I have this, so you also need it. And that way, people are increasing their feverish condition more and more. We see this whole world is just trying to copy somebody else. And in that rat race, as I said, everyone's desires are not going to be fulfilled. Even though you have the items, he has this latest icon car or something, whatever it is. And then you have one car, you are driving. It's taking you from your home to temple and your home to office. But just because my neighbor has some better car, I also need a better car. And then we entangle into whole selling the old one. And then somebody gives us less price. Then we say, oh, isne mereko phasaya. And then whole negative thoughts and everything comes into consciousness. So an intelligent human being should not base his needs on what others have. Oh, he has this. Oh, he has that. No. His needs are his own needs. If you require a good house, it's your own need. But you don't require a good house because somebody else has. If you require some roti with ghee, you require it. But not that because he has, I require it. In that way, man starts comparing and getting frustrated. And then everyone becomes dissatisfied and happy. Especially Vamandev gives two very nice instructions for a person like brahmacharis and brahmanas. He says one should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny. He should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny. For discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. And now he is making a very important point in 8.19.26. I'll read the Sanskrit also. He says, Yad Ichha Labha Santushtasya Tejo Viprasya Vardhate. Now, Vardhate means increase. What increase? Teja means his spiritual power. By how? Who? A Brahmana who is satisfied with what is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. So one who is in his Ichha Labha, he is Santushta. By whatever he gets by destiny, his vipra, his teja, spiritual power increases. For one who is satisfied with whatever he gets by his providence, his spiritual power increases. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahman decreases as fire diminishes as a fire diminishes in potency when the water is sprinkled on it. Just like if a water is thrown on a fire, the potency of fire is diminished. Similarly, if a Brahman is not content with whatever he gets without much effort by his previous destiny, his spiritual potency decreases. And one who is completely satisfied with whatever he gets without any effort or with his previous destiny, he increases day by day in his spiritual enlightenment and spiritual power. So this point has to be noted. If someone wants to increase his spiritual realization, then he has to be content and satisfied with whatever is given to him by his previous destiny. But what about Kshatriyas and Vaishyas? What should they do? Yes, here in this Parapat, Srila Prabhupada states very clearly, Kshatriyas are allowed to have wealth. But for what? For noble causes as sacrifice and others. Kshatriyas had a lot of wealth. Kings, they would have all paraphernalia, treasury, everything. But for what? For noble causes and for welfare of others and for especially for performing yajnas. Otherwise, the same money can be again entangling and sinful. So Kshatriyas are allowed to have wealth, but the wealth should be used only for noble causes, for others' welfare, and especially for yajnas. And it's not for sense. And we yesterday heard from His Grace Krishna and Prabhu the various examples of various great kings. They were great kings, Ranti Deo, and also other kings. They were hungry. They were fasting 40 days, 80 days. Here, great kings are showing by their own example. Although they had royal opulence, not that they did not have any money, so he was fasting. He was a king of the whole country or whole earth, but still he was fasting as his duty. He was not accepting the opulence for his personal aggrandizement. He was using whatever opulence he had for welfare of the society. So yes, Kshatriyas, they can have money, but then the examples are set to us by these great kings like Arjun and Yudhishthira Maharaj and all of them. Arjun, he was also having wealth, but when a complaint would come of a Brahmana's cows being stolen, he would not sit and order, oh, you go, and he would personally go to correct the situation. He would not just be sitting and ordering, oh, you go, you just see if something happens, it's okay. If nothing happens, that is okay. Let the Brahman suffer. He was not armchair Kshatriya. He's enjoying his wealth. No, he said, oh, there is complaint. My wealth is useless if I don't serve this Brahman. So even though great kings, they were there, they were having the wealth. The whole wealth was used for welfare of others, for noble causes, and for performing sacrifices. Arjun did not say, oh, I have a lot of wealth, so why I should take trouble of protecting these my citizens? My army will do it. I will just enjoy here nicely. No, he knew I have this wealth not for my own enjoyment, but for it's for there to serve the people. And similarly, Kshatriyas, not Vaishyas, they can earn money by honest means. And then they have to serve by using that money to in spreading Krishna consciousness. This money has to be earned in honest mean. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 27th, okay. This earning money in honest means is a very important point. Otherwise, we may think, oh, I am devotee. I get, like Srila Prabhupada many times stopped. Even devotees collecting funds by doing some illegal activities. No, this is not the way. Sometimes one disciple of Srila Bhakti Srinath Thakur, he asked donation by speaking some lies. Srila Bhakti Srinath did not appreciate that. He said, this is not money that is coming in Sattva Guna. It will the cause of our all fall down. Be sad. You just go and honestly tell that we are doing this spiritual practice and earn some money. If they give you donation, then use that money for Krishna's service. And if you don't get donation, then try to do whatever you have in doing Krishna's service. So even sometimes we think because we are spiritual or transcendentalist, we are even transcendental to ordinary moral codes. Sometimes by our spirituality we become puffed up. Oh, I am very big. I should not show respect to my elders, my mother, my father, a senior in age to me. It's okay. Therefore, or we just get, oh, I am a devotee, so I can just do anything. It doesn't matter. So, in fact, we have to calm down. One Maharaj was here, I forgot his name. He said, no, we have to begin ISKCON normalization movement. We have to teach devotees that you are devotees, but still you should become normal. Not that we think, oh, we are transcendental, so we are superior to everyone else. And you can be in whatever way we want. So even earning money or spending money, it has to be very careful. How we are earning? Is that earning in a sinful way? Or is it sanctioned by the scriptures? Is it painful for the other living entities? Is I am insulting somebody or all these things? As far as possible, a devotee should try. When he is getting some donations, is he speaking lies? He says, please give us food. Please give us money. We'll use for feeding the poor. And then we come here and then we don't use it. So this type of collection will not be pleasing to Lord. Lord can accept, but it will be certainly very dangerous for the devotees. And in fact, somebody says, no. For Krishna, we can do anything. We will get the money by any ways, by hook or crook, and use to worship the Supreme Lord. We'll get some maybe gold or ornaments for Supreme Lord. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't accept this philosophy. In the 11th canto, chapter 27, text 15, where Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava about deity worship, he's telling one who has, especially material desires, he should worship the deity very opulently. Because he wants to enjoy and he has this desire that I am very great, I am enjoyer. So he should worship the deity very opulently with all the best paraphernalia available. With all his wealth which he has, he should use that. But he says by that the man can understand that I am not the enjoyer. Krishna is enjoyer and then I am enjoying only his remnants. His intelligence can be purified. But a self-satisfied person, Krishna continues, he's saying one who has material desires should worship the deity opulently because he's anyway earning that much. By any hook or crook, he's earning it. So then he should worship the deities with full opulence. But one who is self-satisfied, he should worship the deities only with the things which are easily achieved. Easily achieved means by honest means, by not giving pains and troubles to other living entities. We see these examples. Mrugari, he was running to offer obeisances to Guru Maharaj. He did not think, oh, I am doing dandavat to Guru. Let ants die. No matter what happens. If you ants die, what? I am doing dandavat to Guru. It is so important, so spiritual in nature. Few ants are crushed, it doesn't matter. Mrugari did not think that way. Even though he was offering obeisances to his Guru, which is the most important spiritual duty in our whole existence, a spiritual devotee, he took care to remove the ants from the place and then he offered obeisances. So this point is there. Yes, if we have the things which have come to us by hook or crook, better to use them in Krishna, worshipping Krishna. But it's not required that we get things by hook and crook to worship Lord Shri Krishna. If somebody is free from all desires, he can worship Lord Shri Krishna just by what he easily gets. Like Sanatana Goswami, he was offering only that wheat flour, bati. He would bake that wheat flour in the fire. Then Madan Mohan Ji said to him, you are just giving me wheat flour, bati. At least give me some salt with it. He said, today you are asking for salt. Tomorrow you will ask for sweet rice. I cannot satisfy all your desires. But then after some time, without any trouble, when that rich businessman came, when it came by Krishna's arrangement, he said, okay, you construct big temple. But Sanatana Goswami lived in a small hut. So he showed both the principles. One is, he showed the principle of not over-endering. Lord is asking him, give me some salt. He says, I'm not going to endure for that. On a personal level. He showed his principle of getting the things by honest, easy means and worshipping the Lord by that. And second principle he showed, if something, even lakhs of rupees comes without endeavor, he used it for Krishna's service. So both principles here are exemplified by Sanatana Goswami. If we have the finances, if somebody has already finances, then yes, he should worship with opulent ways to the Lord Shri Krishna.
But not that, oh, I have to go and cheat and beg and borrow or some crooked means, get some money and then worship Lord Shri Krishna with that finances. Sanatana Goswami, when he was asked, and the Lord doesn't ask us. Yeah, no, Lord is asking Sanatana Goswami, give me some salt. He says, no, I am not going to endure that way. Because today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask for sweet rice. You have to go and collect all these things. And collecting all these things does involve some dualities. So sorry for that. But at the same time, when he got his finances and he constructed a big temple, he did it. Madan Mohan was the first big structure in the whole of Vrindavan. So this point has to be noted. Water, especially for those who are in renounced order of life, they should accept the things which they come on his own accord, and by that they can worship the Supreme Lord. And then Shudras, Prabhupada is saying, in the previous times, the Shudras were not given independent finances. They were just given whatever they need. The Shudras were given the clothes, the food, the utensils, they were given everything. And in that way, actually that was better for them. Because Prabhupada is saying, the Shudras, if they get money, then they spend lavishly. Or they accumulate uselessly. Exactly what is happening in the whole world. 99%, 100%. 100% this whole world, these two things are happening. Having finances is not a problem. But spending lavishly, Prabhupada says that is quality of a Shudra. Brahmana, he doesn't accept extra money. Like we see, the Brahmanas were given golden pots in that Yajna. They just left it and went off. They said, we don't need this golden, we know this Arjun went and collected later on from that place. So they were given golden, but they just left it and they went on. Kshatriyas, they have money, but they use it for noble and welfare and for performing yajnas. Vaishyas, they also have finances, but then they have to earn it by honest means and they have to give in charity. They have to give in charity. And Shudras, because they can't, if they have money, they will spend it lavishly and accumulate uselessly. Our process is this Shudra mentality is causing problems all over the world. In the modern age, we see exactly everyone is doing the thing. Everyone wants a lot of money to just spend lavishly, uselessly, or just store in the bank, bigger and bigger bank balance. Both of them is making the money, if you have, should be given in charity or should be used as Kshatriyas for noble welfare purposes. And this is causing the whole problem. Somebody may think, sorry, that I am speaking too fanatically. But if we see even Krishna and Balaram and their mother, Yashoda and Rohini, established or exemplified these activities of leading a regulated life. In 10th canto, 15th chapter, text number 44, Sudhir Goswami describes how mother Yashoda and Rohini would train their children, Krishna and Balaram. It is said there by Sudhir Goswami, yatha kalam, yatha kamam. Sorry, yatha kamam, yatha kalam. That means, I'll just read it from Prabhupada's words. The word yatha kamam, yatha kalam indicate that although Yashoda and Rohini satisfied all the desires of their sons, Krishna and Balaram, they also properly regulated the boys' activities. They were Supreme Lord, but they are showing by their example that although their desires were satisfied, but Mother Yashoda and Rohini also regulated their activities. In other words, they would prepare wonderful food for the children, but they saw to it that the boys ate at a proper time. Similarly, their children would play at proper time and sleep at proper time. Yatha kamam doesn't indicate that the mothers indiscriminately allowed the boys to do whatever they liked. So even when Krishna and Balaram were boys, the mothers tried to satisfy their desires by regulation. Not that their desires were fulfilled with indiscrimination, they were allowed the boys to do whatever they liked, but they allowed in a proper civilized way, and they showered their blessings upon their children. So if somebody is thinking, I am putting only one side, but this is what Krishna is showing. This is the whole aim of Vedic culture, is to be trained to be satisfied by living a regulated life, by whatever we get, by our previous destiny. By previous destiny, if we get crores of rupees, that's okay. And if we don't get, that's also okay. Both are okay. We just accept it. And even Krishna and Balaram, their all their desires were tried to be fulfilled by Mother Yashoda and Rohini. But they did not do it, they did it indiscriminately. They did it in a proper regulated way. And in the end, Srila Prabhupada very nicely sums up. There is a lot of confusion of whether to have finances or not. In fact, Srila Prabhupada showed it to us. Somebody may get bewildered. I am showing off money and then Prabhupada is, one pastime is there. That one Swamiji was there, Mayavadi. If he would not touch even 1 rupees, but his disciples would collect all the money for him. So once he was sitting on one asana and one person to check put 1 rupee coin below the asana. So as soon as this Mayavadi Swamiji said, he got up within minutes. Oh, I'm burning, because that money was kept. And people said, so nice. He's avoiding money so much. He's so renounced. But Prabhupada says, I'm not like that. If somebody offers me money, I will accept with both hands like this. Give me whatever you can. Like this. So somebody saying, oh, we just heard so much things on how to be careful. And here, we are hearing that... Here we are hearing Prabhupada is saying that I don't mind to collect with both hands whatever I get. So what is to be done? In the 7th canto, 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada gives us a very nice balance. And what are the pitfalls, dangers and everything? He says, as far as Krishna conscious movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of Lord, by selling the literatures. This literature is not sold for sense gratification. But to spread Krishna conscious movement, we need so many things, and Krishna is supplying the requisite amount of money. Money should be used to advance Krishna's mission. Then he goes on to say, what are the pitfalls? Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to money for sense gratification. Every cent, every paisa should be spent for spreading Krishna conscious movement. This is the, and not for sense gratification. This is the danger for a preacher. A preacher naturally receives lots of quantities of money. And as soon as he spends even a single paisa of his collection for his personal gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of Krishna conscious movement should be extremely careful of not to misuse the immense quantity of wealth that they may be getting, and that the wealth is needed for spreading. Let us not make this wealth the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause eternal happiness. Prabhupada is giving the warning. For all the managers of Krishna conscious movement should be extremely cautious in this regard to this point. Otherwise, the same money which has come for the spreading of Krishna conscious movement will be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachment, material poverty, and unnecessary hard work. Prabhupada says, when I was in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct mathas or temples. He's giving his own example. I was fully satisfied with small amount of money that I would gather by selling back to Godhead. And thus I would provide for myself and print some more books. But when I went to foreign countries, I'm still living according to the same principle. But these Americans and Europeans, they are giving me money profusely. And I started the temples and deity worship. The same principle should be followed. Whenever the money is collected, it should be spent for spreading Krishna conscious movement. And not a farthing should be spent for sense gratification. That is the Bhagavat principle. Srila Prabhupada concludes that is the Bhagavat principle. And this, I don't know, I'm a little late, but just 2 minutes more. And this Bhagavat principle was very nicely exemplified and glorified by Sriman Jayanand Prabhu. He was earning whatever amount by driving taxi, he was giving 100% to Srila Prabhupada. Not keeping even one farthing. Whatever he was earning, he was giving everything to Srila Prabhupada. Not only that, if somebody is he was maintaining the whole temple. In material world, if somebody is maintaining a temple, when he comes, he says, oh, I'm maintaining. Give me a nice place to sit. Hey, get me prasad. He was giving whatever he earns to the temple and he was working the hardest of all the devotees. So he was not giving the whole money to the temple and saying, oh, see, I am maintaining a temple. You do this. You do that. No, in fact, he was doing, even though he was maintaining the whole temple, he was doing maintaining the whole temple financially. He was doing the service of throwing the trash in the municipality trash bin. That was his humility. Because he was not keeping any finances, as put in this verse, for himself, he was naturally humble. If we keep finances for sense gratification, we become proud. That is what is stated in this verse. And if we become proud by undue finances, we go to this suchumuk hell. This is the logic which is given. But this Sriman Jayanand Prabhu, he did not keep anything for himself. All the money, he was qualified. All were hippies, school dropouts. He was mechanical engineer. Still, he did not show any proud. If someone wanted to take his association, there was one rule. Means not put up rule, but understood rule. If you want to get his association, you should not glorify him. Whereas if you glorified him, he would just not come close to you. That was his humility. Although he was doing the maximum, he did not desire any glorification. He was maintaining a temple. He was the most humble. He was doing the most simple services. Whenever Srila Prabhupada would come, not at sitting front, yes, I am giving all the donation, I am doing all the services. Whenever Prabhupada would come to the temple, he would be in the kitchen washing vessels. And because he was doing so much, Prabhupada was calling him, "Where is Jayanand? Please get him." And then somebody has to go and fetch him in the kitchen or some cleaning. Somebody has to search for him and tell Prabhupada is calling, "Please come." He knew that my relationship with Prabhupada is not based on my donations. My relationship with him is eternal service in separation. So all the qualities, if we just read about him, he had hundreds and thousands of diamond-like qualities. Because of shortage of time, I just mentioned few of them. And even few of them are enough to guide our whole life. Hare Krishna. It's already late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.